2 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse number, I want to begin in verse number 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Thank you. You may be seated. Will you pray with me and for me? Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we come to you in prayer once again. We thank you for the reading of the precious word. We thank you that we have the opportunity to be back at Bible Way Baptist Church and a great honor that it is to stand before this waiting people, people here at Bible Way, and in place of Brother Benoit tonight. And I know that the church probably misses, and I'm sure they do, they miss Brother Benoit by not being here. And Lord, I've experienced it in the past when my pastor would be out. It seemed like it would be a different atmosphere. But God, I pray, Lord, that you'll just help us. Speak to our hearts. It's what we're desiring you, Lord. We love you, and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Well, we read a few verses, and we won't go through the background of, you know, what was going on in the chapter. I'm sure that you may already know this, but what I want to deal with tonight, in verse number 9 and verse number 10, I want to preach you just a simple message on help, Lord, I need strength. Help, Lord, I need strength. I can't help it to go back. And when Peter was walking on the water, and he got his eyes on the waves, and the winds was blowing, and he was all right as long as he had his eyes on the Lord. And when Jesus was walking on the water, and he had his eyes on Jesus, and that's just the same way with us. When we'll keep our eyes on the Lord, things will be a whole lot better. But it's when we get our eyes on the circumstances that's around us. And we find that today, that when we get our eyes on the circumstances around us, I've done it myself, and I start to sink. And Peter cried out, Lord, save me. Now, we could preach that to lost people, Lord, save me. But I'll be honest with you, even saved people need saving. That's the way Peter was. He needed saving that day. He was going under. I told a preacher friend of mine, I said, you know, and I've preached this before, and I've preached on, you know, help, Lord, I'm overwhelmed. And I thought about using Peter one time on help, Lord, I'm sinking. So where do we fall tonight? Are you in one of those categories? But tonight I want to preach on help, Lord, I need strength. And you've heard so many definitions, I'm sure, of grace, and I'll run through some of these. God's provision for our every need when we need it. And thank God that in 1979, Brother Steve, as a 9-year-old boy, God gave me that. He gave me that grace through a saving grace. And every day He sustains us with the grace of God. And every day He's keeping me with the grace of God. And every day, as you'll find here in the Scriptures, it is sufficient grace. Just enough grace that you'll need for that day. And I can't help but going back when Brother Benoit had that bowl of water and he'd dip it out and just start filling up the little cups and saying, oh, you need some grace. And well, I'm glad God gets in His bowl of grace and just pours it out. And I think sometimes, and God help my heart, that sometimes He has to pour the whole bowl on me because I need extra grace so many times. But it's sufficient grace to help us during times that we go through. And many of you probably sit at a loved one's bed and seen them have that dying grace. You know, I've got to experience some loved ones going home with the Lord. It's Miss Karen, Miss Donna, and her grandparents got to see Grandma, Mama go home right there in the hospital room. But that was such dying grace. that was experienced that day. When God gives us what we don't deserve, that's just grace. God's riches at Christ's expense, boy, that's grace. Unconstrained and undeserved divine favor or goodwill, boy, that's grace. But this word sufficient means to avail, to be satisfactory, to be satisfied, to be content, to be enough, to suffice us. I'm glad for the grace of God that is just enough to help us to go another mile. You'll need that grace come tomorrow. You'll need that grace come next week. You'll need that grace. And I'm glad He's got enough. From now on for eternity, we thank God for grace. The amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Well, my name's in that record book that the dear sister sung about tonight. But what I want to talk to you tonight about on Help, Lord, I Need Strength. I want to see the Savior's response, because Paul asked the question. What he was doing, he said, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." And he said unto me, I want you to see the Savior's response to what Paul was asking, that the thorn in the flesh would be removed. Now, I thought about it this morning, and I made mention there in Acts chapter number 27, the storm chapter, when everybody was on board the ship. And the Apostle Paul went and prayed, and he said, "There stood by me this night an angel of the Lord." And basically what he was saying, everybody on board was going to make it. The ship might have been battered. The ship might have been destroyed. But here they come, on boards. They floated into the shore on boards. You know, and I'm sure Paul might have prayed, "God, save us from this storm." But there are some times that God may not get you out of a storm, but He'll see you through it. He'll see you through the storms of life. And there's been many storms that me and my wife and family have battled over our years. You know, I'm 51 years old, and I definitely, you know, and some of you have got some, you know, a little more roads ahead of me. But there's things that I've faced in my life that I wondered and asked God, "God, you're going to have to help us here. You're going to have to get us through this." But He's seen us through it. We might have had to face the storm. We might have had to face the trial. We might have had to face the battles. But He just gets to pouring that grace on us. Said, "I'm going to see you through it." And we'll look at that. But what He done right here, the Savior's response to this, that messenger of grace, that He give the grace, that message of grace, I want you to look at what in verse number 9, when He said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Now, in your good King James Bible that you have in your lap, if you'll look, and mine's red letter. So that lets me know that Jesus Himself spoke to the Apostle Paul. And He told that to the Apostle Paul. That was a personal message. In the Savior's response, that was the personal message that was given to the Apostle Paul. Boy, it blesses my heart when I'm going through something in my life and I get the Word of God down and I start reading it, and all of a sudden God speaks to my heart and He gives me a personal message. I like it when He gives Brother Steve a personal message and he testifies about it. He said, "Look what God showed me today. Look what God's given me today." Or the sisters may stand and when they sing and they say, "Oh, I was alone with God and I got the Word of God." How important is the Word of God to you? I heard this statement a long time ago. You tell me your relationship to this book, and that'll tell me your relationship to God. Because this is God. And I know I'm going to say some stuff that I said this morning. But that woman back there, my sweetheart of almost 30 years, how would she know that I loved her, but I would tell her? But I wouldn't just tell her. I would show her. Now, He wants to find out. He wants to be able to speak to you. What's that telling God? the Lord God Almighty, when we don't read His book, when we stand and when we get to heaven and maybe the Apostle Paul comes up and said, did you read my book to the 2 Corinthians? Was that in the Bible? No, I must have didn't read it. Oh, how little we would feel if we didn't read the book. But that's where God is going to give us a personal message. And it's going to be at the right time. How many times have we read a verse of Scripture, maybe a chapter, and you just read over and you read over it, and maybe you don't get nothing out of it. But then the next time, when you're going through something, God just turns the light on, say, I've read that chapter over and over and over and over, and I didn't get nothing until today. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Boy, we need the Word of God. How important is the Word of God? He wants to speak to us. How important. I thought about this years ago when a former pastor went to the church. He said that there was a Sunday school, the opening of Sunday school, and the individual, the man got up, and he started out like this. He said, I want a show of hands. Now, I wouldn't do that tonight because I really believe some people would be embarrassed. Maybe not. Y'all probably got that nailed down. But the Sunday school superintendent, he stood and he said, I want a show of hands how many read five chapters this week. He said there was about 13 or 14 people, maybe two read five chapters. God, help us. How important is the Word of God to us? We'll gain the help that we need. How many times, I cannot stress it enough, how many times have we took the Word of God and God would help us? That's the personal message. It was straight to Paul. Even Mary outside the tomb, and that's when Jesus, he just said Mary. He was giving her a personal message. Jairus, as I preached on this morning, when he said, be not afraid, only believe. He said that to Jairus. That was a personal message just right to them, right to him. That encouraged him. His daughter had died. And Jesus, when his personal word, that his faith got strengthened. He had the strength he needed to go back. Because of just what Jesus said. A personal message. But there's also a promising measure. And that's where that little word sufficient, and I've done and touched on that. It's just enough. It's just what you need when you need it. My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. And I'm going to move on with a personal message, promising measure, but there's also a progressive maturing. Now we're talking about this Savior's response. He's wanting to do some things in the Apostle Paul's life, and we'll see that here in just a minute. But there is maturing of what? He's wanting to grow. He's wanting to help us to be more like Christ. If you go to Romans 8 and 28, then there in verse number 29, he wants to conform us to the image of His Son. If it's going to make you to be like Christ and be a better Christian and to be a better soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ, He wants to put things in your life. And we don't ask for them. I'm sorry, but we don't ask for them. But to help you to be more like Christ. But it's going to be, many times, it's going to be in our weak times. That's when in our weak times, if we'll just look up and say, God, this is for a reason. Whether it's a financial, a physical, or a domestic, an emotional, I don't know what it may be in your life. And maybe you're here today. People need strength. I'm sorry. People need strength. It doesn't matter if you're a pastor. It doesn't matter if you're a preacher. It don't matter if you're a preacher's wife. It doesn't matter if you're a good independent Baptist church. We still got to have strength. And we still need the strength to carry on. We're not going to make it in these days if we don't have the strength of God. So may we just get with God and say, help, Lord, I need strength. Amen. But I want to look at this servant's reaction. This is where I really want to, I guess, drive home tonight. But I want you to see, and right here, the servant's reaction to this. The Apostle Paul, Paul's rejoicing in his circumstance. You say, Brother Craig, where in the world do you get that? It says, most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory. He's rejoicing in his circumstance. He may not like it. And you say, case in point, here we go. Acts chapter number 16. The Apostle Paul and Silas in jail. In Acts chapter number 16, yes, they've been beaten, they've put in bonds, and yes, they've been shackled. And it was dark in there, it was dreary. Do you feel like sometimes you're in a dark place, you're in a dreary place? Do you feel like that you've been shackled up? You feel like you don't have no freedom? What happened the time that they were in jail? Acts chapter number 16. The Apostle Paul and Silas, what in the world were they doing? They were praising, singing, shouting, I'm sure. How in the world can you shout when you got shackles on? How in the world can you do all of that? I'd probably be moping and groaning and complaining, get me out of here. When the jail busted wide open, I would have probably took out of there. But he told that Philippian jailer, we're all here. We've not left. But Paul rejoiced in his circumstances. And one of my favorite books in the Bible is the book of Philippians. Ladies and gentlemen, where was he at when he, through the Holy Spirit, he wrote Philippians? He was in the jail. He was in jail. And one of the main thing, the theme of that whole book is joy and rejoicing. So right in the midst of the book of Philippians, in Philippians 4:4, it said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Paul was able to do it. Why can't we do it? But I'm just full of old flesh. And it's hard for me to rejoice in my circumstance. Even 1 Thessalonians, he said, rejoice evermore. Again, he said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. I'm sorry, but we're so far. We're so far in thanksgiving. We are so far behind in praising the Lord. We're so far in worshiping the Lord. We get so, I think sometimes we get so high and mighty. And we say, well, God's going to be good to me whether he wants to or not. But I'm going to tell you, the Apostle Paul grew, and that's my second point, he grew in these circumstances. It matured him. He learned a lesson. And how many times, and you could go to James chapter number 1, I thought I'd preach that, but I know Brother Vinoy's already preached that. So what can I preach that Brother Vinoy ain't never preached? So, and I know that ain't good English, me see. But Paul grew in these circumstances. What does it say in 2 Peter 3:18? But grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. That we could grow. There in 1 James, in James chapter number 1, where it talks, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. And you know this. It's not if, it's when. You're going to come through trials in your life. You're not going to understand which way's up and which way is it down. You're not going which way to go. And sometimes you'll come and your back is going to get just pushed. Which way am I going to go? Sometimes God may take you right to the brink of the Red Sea. You can't turn back and the Red Sea in front of you. But don't give up, Christian. Don't give up on a brink of a miracle. God's wanting to do something in your life. God's wanting you to just rejoice in your circumstances. We're facing some things in our home. We're facing some things at our job. Brother Justin, just rejoice and just ask God, help, Lord. I'm going to need strength. Amen. It's amazing that nowadays that people are they're so weak spiritually. They're so weak they can't get themselves out of a hole. All they have to do is say, help, Lord, I need strength. I know I'm going through this circumstance. I know I'm going through this trial. It just takes two words. Let's say it together. Help, Lord. Let's say it one more time. Help, Lord. That's simple. You're not finding a whole chapter full of that. You're not going to have to read a whole book, and that will help you. But when you bow and pray and you just say, "Help, Lord," you know what I'm glad of, Steve? I'm glad that he'd say, I know all about it, and I know what you're going through. I'm just waiting for you to ask. Asking. How many times? I know I've got two daughters, an older one that's married and got a grandchild. And how many times? And then I got Kara, that's our 18-year-old that comes. She's sick now, I pray for her. But how many times? And this will bless you as grandparents. This will bless you as fathers and mothers. When that child says, "Help, Daddy. Help, Mama." They've asked for my help. That's what God wants us to do. Just say, "Help, Lord. Just help, Lord." Paul rejoiced in his circumstances. Paul grew in his circumstances. It was all of a maturing process. He's wanting to make you complete. Let me show you something right here. In verse number 9 and verse number 10, look at that little word "in." And I like that little word. That little word "in," just as you go to Ephesians, and Ephesians, it talks about in Christ and in whom. That little word "in" just means a fixed position. But look at it. You got in weakness, in mine infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses. Seven times. Biblical numerology. Seven means perfection, completion, maturity. Is that what God's wanting to do in our life? He's wanting to mature us, to help us to grow in the grace, to help us to grow in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Paul learned in his adverse circumstances. Hallelujah. Boy, I'm glad God's grace is sufficient. I'm glad the sufficiency is of God, as Corinthians would talk about. But I want you to also notice this. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Right here it is. Paul was rejoicing in his circumstances. Paul grew in his circumstances. But looky here. Paul had the power of Christ resting on him. And many times, because it said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. To get the power of Christ in Paul's life, it took some weaknesses. It took some infirmities. And it might just be, Brother Ralph, it might just be that God, to put the power upon an individual, to put the power of Christ upon a home, to put the power of Christ on Bible Way Baptist, there might be some circumstances that God might have to put in your life. Now, God can grant the anointing. God can grant the power. But sometimes it might just take a circumstance such as this right here. He said that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, it's easy preaching, but it's hard living. God, I need the power. And you preachers and singers. Now, I led singing for 30 years. And I'm definitely not a veteran. But choir, before you even mount the choir loft, you ask God for the anointing power of God. Miss Danita, Miss Laura, Justin, when y'all play the instruments and you sing your specials, us preachers, we ask for the power of God to be upon. That's what's going to make a difference at Bible Way. When you sing songs like about the perfect love that you sung this morning or that tonight, boy, I'm glad the love of my Savior. What God done. That ought to bring about joy. That ought to bring about rejoicing. You just think about that perfect love. That love that's abounding. That love. Help, Lord. I need strength. And if it takes the love of God to help me and strengthen me, then if I knew a land, well, there's a land for the saints. I can't wait. Help, Lord, I need strength. And then you sing a song that ought to give you joy, that ought to give you rejoicing. You find out your names in the record book. You know your names. Help, Lord, I need strength. That ought to give you strength. Knowing your Savior loves you and that you've got a land waiting you over yonder. Old preacher said one time, he said, I started preaching a series on heaven. And you'd have thought, you'd have thunk it, ladies and gentlemen, you'd have thunk it when somebody was preaching on heaven, the place would erupt in rejoicing. That man of God had to quit that series because he said it was killing the church. Preaching on heaven. I think one of the problems to that is we love it too much around here. We can't get excited about going to heaven. Oh, Lord, help us. You know, I'm ready to go. I mean, I'm not ready to go on the next load. I mean, I'm not ready to go tonight. I mean, yeah, I am ready, but I don't want to. I love life. I do. I enjoy life. And I want to be a joyful Christian. If it takes me calling out, help, Lord, I need strength. And Him to come to me and say, well, my grace is sufficient for you. You need some grace, there'll be just enough. I'm going to need grace tomorrow. I'm going to need grace next week. I'm going to need grace till the day I die. And I'm glad He's got enough. Boy, I love the Lord tonight, don't you?
Amen.
Amen. Fathers, we come to you in prayer. Lord, I thank you, God, for helping us tonight. Lord, I might have felt a little scattered, but Lord, I really believe I preached what God you wanted me to preach. And Father, I pray that you'll help the people of God, those that have come in dragging their tracks out tonight. And Lord, I know there's been many, many, many times that I've come in the house of God and I've said, Lord, if you don't help me in this service, I am a goner. It don't matter who's in here, that individual, that home, maybe this church. If they don't get the help, there may be some out of church by this time next month. And Lord, I don't know who you spoke to. As I've already said, I have no clue what Brother Eddie preached this morning. But Lord, I'm praying you'll speak to hearts. Use the message. Use the Word of God to strengthen them. Oh, Father, we love you today. We'll thank you and praise you. Again, I thank you for allowing us to preach in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. In Jesus' name.